What's your faith like? Because today's message is Faith Out Loud. It's the title of this message. When we've done goal setting, how many of us have set goals for this coming year? You need to get with the program. Really, that's God saying that, not me. Last week we talked about overcoming temptation. How many of us have had the victory of overcoming that temptation? Yeah, even less. My goodness. Well, hopefully today we'll give you another nugget in order to begin to build this thing in such a way that you will have the victory, you will appropriate the goals and the vision for your life, and how your life fits into the life that God wants to utilize here in Streams. And it all starts with our faith. Bible says anything that's not of faith is sin. Real quick. And it's really true. So I want to ask, what is your definition of faith? Not only is what's your faith like, but what's your definition of faith? Is your faith alive and vibrant? Or is it just a bunch of head knowledge that you've been educated in, but there's no appropriation of your faith? We know that faith without works is dead. So, again, asking these questions about faith. Or do you have great faith just for the moment, and then when that testing comes in your life, that it just peters away, which is not faith at all? Or do you have faith that can stand up to the test and the trials that God has set for you, and you're able to come out of those trials with greater faith than when you went into it? And like I said, all these things I've asked of myself. And be truthful with you, I've been found wanting. Wanting more of God and wanting more of my life to reflect Jesus Christ by faith. And these questions, and I'm now asking you, what's your faith like? Because how you answer will determine the outcome of your life. So it's not something that you want to answer right away with all this great bravado. Oh, I've got great faith. I can handle all these situations. You know, and we just start naming, you know, and claiming the word of God, you know, through all things, I can do all things through Christ Jesus and all this other stuff. But that's great that you can quote scripture, and that's great that you have the word of God in you. But what's your experience in God? And this is the key to the element of why we're doing all these assessments of ministries, why we're looking to reach out more and more, because there are people out there, believe it or not, want what you're getting. Really. And you've heard me say this time and time and time again. I am biased, I am prejudiced, because God has sovereignly given us a vision and a goal and tremendous teaching that really puts personal responsibility on you, the church. It's not the priest. It's not, you know, the reading of scripture. It's putting your faith and activating your faith in God. Hebrews 1 tells us what the definition of faith is. Who could quote me that scripture? I hear a lot of whispering. Okay, what does that mean? That's a definition, but what does it mean? I mean, we read that, we read Hebrews 11, 1. Let me put it in a vernacular that may spring up some life to you. Faith is the full assurance of things hoped for with the conviction of things not seen. Faith is the full assurance of things hoped for with the conviction of things not seen. There are two elements in which to have biblical faith activated in the believer. It's having full assurance in God's ability and having the full conviction that what He says, He will do. And in the most simple form is, we have faith in our five senses, right? We touch, smell, see, hear. And what's the other one? Taste. We know of them. Can we see them? No, we can't see them. But we know that they're there, right? That's how it should be with our relationship to Jesus Christ. You see, we will never enter into the fullness of our relationship to Jesus Christ until we have a full assurance about His character and His ability to bring about that which He has promised to us. And most of us don't have the full assurance. That's true. I have assurance that God's able to do this, but I'm not operating in the full assurance. And so I must press deeper into Jesus Christ for my faith to grow in Him, to see that which He's calling into our lives. It's not a matter of how much I know about Him. It's not a matter of how much I can quote Scripture about Him. It's all about my heart relationship with Him. My heart has to know Him like I know my wife. And be truthful with you, in asking these questions on myself, I ask, do I really know my wife? I would like to. I would like to think that after 38 years, we're not on a 4, we're not on a 5 or a 0 yet, right, baby? But there's always this element of doubt in knowing someone and the ability to want to know them even better. Okay? I must not just be able to quote the Scripture. I must be able to live the Scripture in full assurance that God will make me what He has called me to be. It takes faith. Augustine, he was one of the early church fathers, said this of faith. He said, faith is to believe what we do not see, and the reward of this faith is to see what we believe. Okay? Faith is to believe what we do not see. The reward of this faith is to see what we're believing. And it used to be said that kings and priests were the ones who had all this faith. But we have to understand that there are greater realities that we believe in. We believe in heaven, right? We believe in hell, right? We should. They're real places. Jesus spoke of them. We know that there's a future accounting for our lives, what we do, whether we do it unto the Lord or not. Jesus is going to hold us accountable. We believe that, don't we? We believe that He's going to reward those who name the name of Jesus Christ and live their life for Him. There's rewards. But we also know there's a future punishment. We can't see them, but nevertheless, they're real. And we have the assurance, but do we have the full assurance of their reality? Turn to Psalms 23. We need to begin to start learning what faith is and is not. We need to start speaking faith. The Bible says, speak those things are not as though they were. This is how God speaks. This is how God talks to us. And it does not negate the realities that He operates in. We must learn the language of faith. That means we must also unlearn the language of unfaith or unbelief. And most of us live in the language of unbelief than in belief. And I'll get to what I'm talking about. To have faith, to have a Bible faith, is the core issue of solving your problems and mine. The very core. It's central. Why? Because only God can solve your problems. He is the ultimate problem solver. That's true. That is unmitigated, unadulterated truth. We get into problems because we don't include God. We get into circumstances because we make decisions without God. We do things that best suits us because the way we feel, not according to what God says we should be doing. Because after all, God loves me. He knows me. He knows what's going on in my life. Yeah. He knows your heart's desperately wicked. He knows how selfish and self-centered you are, and I am. He knows all those things. And yet, He loves us. And He has so much more for you and for me that if we would just surrender our lives of this selfishness and self-centeredness and begin to start walking this faith, talking this faith, our life would change dramatically. Romans 10:17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. That's how faith comes. But God, once we have salvation, says that He's given everyone a measure of faith. We all start out with faith. And God wants us to build our faith. What is language? Language is the ability to orally communicate our thoughts, desires, plans, and emotions to other people. Isn't that what God does in His Word? He communicates to us what His thoughts are, His desires are, His plans are for us. Well, I think I should be President of the United States. The guy who's running it, I can't run any worse than he's running it. Now, I could spend money just like he does. I could do all these things, you know, and not worry about it, because after all, we don't have a spending problem. We just need more money. And isn't that what we say in our daily budget? Well, if I just had a few more bucks to do this, we'd get out of the hole. And the fact of the matter is, we'll never get out of the hole, because we'll spend that extra more to what we want to do, not because of what we need to do. That's the truth. And so I say that if you look at the example of our government, you can see the spiritual condition of this nation and also the spiritual condition of the church. Because so as the church goes, so does the nation. And we are found wanting. Now, I'm not picking on the government. I'm just using it as something that we can all relate to, because I got paid this week and I found out I'm $69 shorter in my wallet than I was the time I picked up before. All because they don't want to raise taxes. Well, they raise taxes. And I don't consider myself part of the 2%. I consider myself the upper poor. Because that's what they're creating. They're creating a poor class and a wealthy class. But God is creating a class of kings and priests. A class of abundance. So in order to speak the words of God, we have to have our minds renewed. And the best way I understand that these minds need to get renewed is in Psalm 23. Now, I don't know about you, and I don't know about junior church, but when I was a kid, we had to memorize Psalm 1, we had to memorize Psalm 23, and Psalm 100. Those were basic building blocks for a young believer to understand. And of course, all of us have memorized Psalm 119, right? Becky's going, I know that. I know that. Let me check it out. Let me help you, Beck. It's 150 verses long. Now, we have not memorized it. But let's take a look at these words of faith that God gives to us through this psalm, and let's see what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. First of all, he says, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for I have a bigger club than they do. Oh, that's my addendum to the word. No, it says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, we all speak that, right? We all affirm all this stuff, right? We do this. I don't. I do some of this, but I don't do this. And I'm not saying that you do, but I want you to begin to start seeing in the eyes of the Spirit what David, who was a man after God's own heart, was saying here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David is making reference to God's sovereignty and ability to meet his needs. There is nothing that God can't do for us. And the example before is like, you know, if I had another extra $10 a week, I would be able to pay my debt down and do all this other stuff. The truth of the matter is, I would take that $10 and I would spend it on Miss Irene. I would. I would spend it on her. But we have to understand that that's not what it is. What you have and what I have is a discipline problem. Faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much. And God gives you as much money as you need. And the reason why he doesn't give you more, whether a better job or more, is because you're unfaithful in what he's given to you. Let's admit that. This is true. This is, you know, if you look at Malachi, or some people who like the Italian version, Malachi, you know, God tells us why we don't have certain things. And it all starts with our attitude towards his money, because our attitude to our money is really bad. So he tries to educate us in how to turn this thing around. And next week I'm going to talk about how to build prosperity in your life. But he says here, you know, God is in his life. He overlooks his life and he provides everything that he wants. There's nothing that David is lacking. Everything that he needs is in God. And his faith in God will fill us with things that satisfy us. And so what we have to learn is really, how far away are we from really seeking God and being satisfied in him? I'm not satisfied where I'm at. And I don't know about how satisfied you are, but I can only speak for myself. And so what we need to understand is that if I am not speaking these words, and my mouth is filled with words of, I don't have, I can't, I wasn't able to do, those are words of negativity. They are excuses. And what they do is curse your life. You curse your life, not God, by speaking these things, because you give life to these words. You just don't understand, Pastor. I just can't do. And I fire back the Word of God. I fire it back at you. I'm trying to get you to see that everything that you have is in here. The Bible says everything that pertains to life is found in Jesus Christ. Everything. He's given us His Word. He's told us what He wants to do, but we don't read it. We don't study it. We don't have our lives faithfully exhibiting that which what God says. And then when we stand before God and say, I never knew. Pastor never told me. Baloney. What did you do with my word? What did you do with my son? In the beginning was the Word. Right. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word took on flesh. The Word took on this carcass. And we have to understand that the way to an abundant life, a life filled with faith, is words of affirmation. And this is what David was doing. He was affirming God as his shepherd. Is God your shepherd? Or is he your fire escape? Is he your, what do they call those things? Fire extinguisher. I said to the guys when we were meeting way back in the garage, I said, you come with me to me and we'll put your fire out. The next time you come to me with the same fire, I'll give you the bucket. You'll know how to put your fire out. I've showed you. Has it changed? No, hasn't changed. And that's what God does with us. And I'll take what Nolan is saying. God has given us a spirit of creativity in order to meet this abundance, but what are we doing? We are stymieing it. I can't do that. I just don't know how to do this. And I sat there and I watched Miss Kim when we were building the gingerbread houses, how artfully and tactfully and securely she was teaching her children how to put that gingerbread house together. And then we had Danielle over there. She had this thing over there. It was so beautiful. It was so neat. It's like, man, God has gifted her with a thing. I almost wanted to eat the thing. I know I couldn't, but I did. You have the same gifts and abilities as Danielle has, only she's exercising her faith to use it. And she's sitting there with her kids and putting this thing together. And of course, Miss Irene, ever so lovingly, moonwalks away to allow the rest of us to enjoy the favor of the Lord. If your words are matching your lifestyle, there's something wrong. If your words are filled with negativity instead of positivity, you will have what you are saying. Job said, "That which I have feared and spoken has now come upon me." You curse your own situation. That's why we should be slow to speak and quick to hear. Think about this. Two. In verse two, you know, verse one, he's talking about physical needs. In verse two, he says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." He's talking about his spiritual needs. David states faith in the provision of God for his spiritual wholeness, his peace, his wellness. And he satisfies his heart. Does God satisfy and quench your thirst? Or do you even realize how dry and thirsty you are? Oh, Pastor, that's just a metaphor. No. It's a metaphor of a reality. Yours and mine. How many times were you in the Word this week? I got into it once this week. For how long? Oh, maybe 15 minutes. How many times did you pull away from the table and not eat a meal? Oh, I didn't miss a meal this week. God's been really good to me. So, you fast your spiritual food that your spirit man needs, but yet you fill up on your carnality that your body needs. Isn't that kind of crazy? Paul says, "My outward man dies daily as my inner man grows exponentially." We should have more peace because we know who God is, and our faith should be in the abundance. We know He's going to take care of us in every need, and all we have to do is look back at what was going on in our lives to see exactly how God is performing these things. And yet, We tell God in the world, we declare like it's a big deal. Well, you know what? Pastor really had to push and shove and get me to go on. You don't realize what you're saying. If I have to take a boot to your backside, you missed the gentleness of God's Spirit to encourage you to be what He wants you to be. I don't relish doing this. And the Bible says it's a strange thing that God has to bring discipline among men. He hates doing it too. But you know what? Eventually, He's going to put you in time out and allow you to deal with the circumstances that you created. So let us declare unto God His abundance. Let us feed upon His Word. Let us get there and really have that as a part of our lives. Let us meditate on God's Word. Let us make it a reality so that our faith will grow and be strong. Not in ourselves and our ability, but in God and His ability. So that we can have the full assurance and the conviction of the words that we speak. Verse 3, He says, He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He's talking about His social needs now. I guess all of us, unless it's just me, because all you guys get along with everybody else out in the outside world, right? You don't have anybody that's a pain in the keister or... No? I guess it's me. Yeah, I'm the difficult one, so Lord, work with me. But he says that he praises God about how dry he is and how he restores his soul from that and the things that he experiences. And David feels like, and we see in other Psalms, where he feels like just giving up on life. But he's honest about it. He's so brutally honest that God takes him through this stuff no matter what. But he speaks words of affirmation to counterattack the enemy's ploy to destroy you. Satan doesn't want you to realize who you are and the potential of God's fullness in you. Once you realize who you are and daily declare it, there's no turning back. How many of us really believe that we're kings and priests unto our God? Just a few of us. You don't realize what that tells me about your spiritual condition. You're people without faith. You're faithless. And God wants you to be faithful, full of faith. That's what He wants. He wants you to speak words of affirmation, words to build up your inner man. He wants you to associate yourself with people who are faithful, who are full of faith, to be built up when you're feeling so low. And it doesn't come easy for us because, you know, every time we get into a situation, we become disillusioned or we become discouraged because we don't see God in it. But let me assure you, fully assure you, God is working behind the scenes to bring about that which He's promised you into a reality. Can you believe that? Because it is true. He has your best intentions on His heart. And He wants to bring good things into your life. He wants to make your life sprout and produce fruit that other people will see. And it's real hard for a tree to grow in a desert when it's not getting any water. It's real hard for a tree to produce fruit when it's not getting the nourishment or the encouragement that we need. We need to speak God's words. We need to speak against those things. We need not be envious of the wicked. It seems like nothing goes wrong for them. Everything's going right for them. Well, we know that there's a day predestined by God to bring an end to them. And we should be praising God about what He's doing in our lives to purge us from that possibility. That's a good thing. In verse 4, he says, "Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." A rod and a staff by a shepherd talks about two things. A rod is for correction. Okay? And all of us, we know that the word comes forth that God corrects those who are bastards, right? No. Who's he correct? His sons and daughters. He's not worried about those who are outside his family. He's taking care of his family. So his rod is in there to bring correction to us. His staff speaks about his authority and protection. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God is always going to protect his own. He's always going to make provision. There are things that he's done that even the unrighteous get. Sunshine, rain, you know, Fruit Loops, whatever, you know, whatever they want to have. But God wants us to acknowledge his presence with us. How many times do we say, "Oh God, I wish I could sense you," and he's standing right next to us. He's standing in us. Didn't Jesus say, "I'll never leave you or forsake you"? But yet in those times, we cry out like we don't know he's here. Faith is affirmation. It is not negativism. And so he wants us to affirm that his power and authority is working through us, even though we're surrounded by wickedness, even though we're confused, even though there is dark. Who is the light? You are. You're of the light because he is light. There's no darkness in God. And so faith has to begin to start speaking these things out. "Well, you know, my faith is private, God. And Pastor, you know, I just can't say those things in front of..." You're saying it to him. I could care less what you're saying. I'm talking to him. I remember there was one time I read a story about Abraham Lincoln, and he was praying, and one of his cabinet ministers said, "Mr. President, who are you talking to?" He's, "I need you to be quiet. I'm talking to the master." He was speaking to God. And this guy was a heathen, didn't understand it. And it was during the time of the Civil War. And you know, when things are going bad, we should be running to him. Not to put the fire out, but to show us what he wants us to do in the midst of it. Do you understand how well equipped he has made you to go through this stuff? Even though we've made bad decisions in our lives and we find ourselves in circumstances that we wouldn't want our best friend in, but God promises to bring us through. He'll bring us through the confusion. He'll bring us through the darkness. And when we come out, he wants us to shine like a city on a hill. Why? Because people are watching you and me and how we respond to these circumstances that we find ourselves in. We have to speak these words of affirmation to calm our flesh down, not our spirit. Our spirit is ready to go to war. It's our flesh that's not doing it. Also in verse 4, it talks about God's protection. He affirms the protection of God. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path." He will. Faithful is he who calls you, who will also do it. Because if we do it, we're going to mess it up. Now let's face it, truthfully, we've made a mess out of our lives. That's why we're with Jesus Christ now, right? I can honestly say that I did my best to mess my life up. And I didn't need God's help to do it. But I need God's help to make it smell like a bed of roses, which he has. And I'm ever thankful for that. Faith is not simply believing in God. Okay? And when we witness to people, we hear them say, "Well, I believe in God. I believe in God." Do you? The devil believes in God, and they tremble. Where are you trembling? I'll tell you what, when I stand before him, in my prayer closet and stuff, I tremble. Because I know how much I need His mercy and forgiveness and His protection. And when we go through these things, God says He will bring us through unscathed. We'll be unscathed. But we may lose possessions. We may lose relationships. We may lose things that are totally not needed any longer. Because He's saying, I'll be that which you've lost. If you let me just bring you through. And we kick and scream all the time about, oh, I don't have this, or I can't do that. You know, I wanted to be able to go there, but I just didn't have. You're cursing yourself. What we should be going is saying, God, if it be your will, supply this. God, if this be your will. How many of us know what His will is? We should all have our hands up. We should know what His will is. Why? Because we're in relationship with Him. Well, you're the high and holy man, Pastor. You're the one who's supposed to intercede for us. And I do. I do my job. But it's not to be a substitute to your relationship to Him. Remember I said to you, your salvation, you're only as saved as your relationship to Jesus Christ. Remember? Oh, I'm saved because, you know, Jesus forgave me and I can still do whatever I want. No. You're missing it. That's not what we're about here. It's about taking personal responsibility and allowing Him to make a life for you by giving His life for you. And the devil wants us to be afraid. He wants us to be confused. He wants us to be in danger. He wants us to stay in doubt. He wants to frustrate us. He wants us to be afraid of each other. He wants us to look at our insecurities. And the more we look at Him, the less we're focused on ourselves. Right? And what's David say? You are with me. I will not fear. You are with me. God is ever with us. 5, he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. David, throughout this whole psalm, is declaring God and what He is and what He has done. Do you know how favored you are? God has anointed you with His very Spirit. Let me give you something to chew on. God doesn't just pour out His Spirit. Okay? Although Joel says, you know, in the last days I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. What he's talking about is the Spirit is here. It's over all of us. But only those will He honor. They ask for it. You are highly honored. As a king in biblical times, they would pour oil on his head as a symbol of honoring that individual. When David had the oil poured out, he was 14 years of age. He was going to be king. The oil was poured out upon him. The oil of God has been poured upon your lives. You are honored. You're so much above the devils that they hate you for it. Because they've seen God. They know how awesome God is. And by faith, we stand in a position that they abdicated. And God honors you for that. And finally, he says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David is declaring that he will remember all the things that God has done for him, which builds up our faith, which walking this thing out by faith maintains our victory. It's not something we have to attain. It's something that we've been given. Three things we need to constantly remember about God. He is forever faithful. He is forever good. And He will abundantly supply all our needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. We have to remember that. And speaking this word releases faith, releases us from the spirit of poverty, it releases us from cursing our lives, because we're positive. We're full of assurance of who God is. And God is speaking today about the foundation of faith. God is speaking about where your faith is. He's already shaken my foundation. And like I said, He's given to each one of us a measure of faith. Some of you may be contemplating about adding to your faith and taking the next step. Maybe you're just tired of calling yourself a Christian in name only. It's time for you to step over that and become more of a Christian and have the conviction in your spirit that that's what you believe God wants for you. You're tired of the guilt and condemnation of a compromised lifestyle. And God wants to love on you and embrace you. And if that's you, I want to encourage you to take that step today. Stop living compromised. Stop speaking curses into your life. Stop doing the things that dishonors your relationship with God. God may be speaking to you about your commitment to Him. You've tasted and seen that God is good personally. You've seen some good things. But you're a recipient of what He has provided for you. And you're feeling within your spirit, you know, there's more God. I want to commit to this thing. I want to give a blessing instead of just be a blessing and receiving a blessing. You know, the degree of maturity is not just receiving a blessing, but being a blessing to bless others with. Some of you are there, and I want to encourage you to take that step of faith. That commitment that Satan doesn't want you to take causes your Father in heaven to rejoice, because you're growing up into that man and woman of God that He so desires for you. And then there's some of you who are thinking about your commitment of all that you have, all that you are to Him. And you're really struggling about that, but take that step of faith and honor God. Because you don't need to know where He's taking you. You just need to know that He's faithful. He'll bring you through it and make you what He has called into your life and give you an inheritance. Give you a destiny that only you can fulfill. And He's telling you right now, as He's saying to me, go ahead, risk it. Because you're not going to take anything out of this world. You came in with nothing, you're going to leave with nothing. It's how you utilized what He gave you to expand His kingdom. And if you risk it all, guess what? You'll receive all. That's the truth. That's what faith is all about. It's not only time to walk in the fullness of this resurrected life, it's now to be dispensers into others' lives. There's some people who are desirous to be disciples that still need to get discipled. And you're allowing the enemy to put into your mind, I don't need that. You know, I'm going good. That's your pride. And the Satan will do that. Twist your pride. Tweak it in such a way to keep you from becoming all that God wants you to be. You see, this kind of faith is not a faith that is just up here and I have a ton of Bible knowledge. It's real faith. It's faith that causes us to walk this thing out together, one with another, not in isolation. And there's a world out there that have a lot more faith than you and I. They have faith in wickedness. They have faith in that things are turning darker and darker. And I hear it from them all the time. I see it. And so do you. But you're the answer. You're not only the answer, you have the answer in you. If you would just take your faith and ignite it. Make it alive and real. Amen? Father, we just thank you for this time. Father, I just ask that people's faith, that they would take it, God, and look at it and see what it is. See if it's true Bible faith. See if it's faith of affirmation that David has here in the 23rd Psalm, God. God, forgive us. Forgive us for thinking more highly of ourselves than what we ought to, God. I ask, God, for all those who examine and take a look at their faith and want to step further into you, Lord God, that you would encourage them, you would build them up. For those others, God, that haven't been touched by the Spirit in their hearts, I ask, Father, that you burn it up. Burn it up. Because our faith without works, God, is dead. Help us to know you in a real way, God. Help us to know that you're with us no matter what. Help us to remember everything that you've given to us, God, including our salvation. And help us to treasure it because it comes from you. And we need to treasure you above that too, Lord. Father, may you be our God and we be your people. No matter what goes on this week, may our faith be ignited and that we burn in righteousness for you. I ask in Jesus' name, amen.